Hey everyone, it's Nicholas Wilton and I'm here in Amy Torgerson's studio, and we're diving into, Amy's a collage artist and a printmaker, and we're diving into all the ins and outs of block printing, mono printing, silk screening, and boy, there's a lot here, so we're just going to just get going because I'm afraid we can't cover all this. Yeah. There's so many possibilities, and that's, you know, when you come into your studio, it's for me, it's like, well, how did you do that? How did you make that? And how did you, you know? So, how do we start this thing?
Okay, so we can start by talking about block printing, which is a really easy thing to do at home because the tools are really accessible. Mm-hmm. It cleans up really easily. And block printing is basically, or relief printing is basically where you're carving into either a wooden block, linoleum, which is stiffer, mm-hmm. or these rubber blocks.
And what's cool about this is that this can integrate in with your painting
yes.
or whatever. This
yes.
is just an add-on.
You can take this block and with the right ink, just, you know, put it right onto a board that you're working on. This works with clay. This works with paper.
And this is a rubber,
yes.
just like a big rubber mat.
I actually saved my sticky here. This is a Speedy Carve Speedball.
Okay.
And it's just a really easy entry point into block printing because it's not difficult to carve.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some that are even easier to carve, but they tend to crumble a little bit. So I like this particular.
Yeah. Can you get it bigger?
You can get them all different kinds of sizes.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I just, you know, tend to start with the 4x6. But one of the things that's sort of indicative of block printing are these extra lines that you see. Because you're carving away, you can see in this
right,
chair
removing.
Image, you're removing what you the negative space, mm-hmm. basically, and leaving what's going to be printed. But stylistically, and this is completely up to the person, how much stray marks you leave is sort of up to you.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll see people who completely cut around the item, and so it becomes more of a stamp,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Or you'll see,
oh, I see. Right.
where you've got more of the markings.
Right, where it's carved out.
Yeah, so if you see, this is just mm-hmm. on an envelope, but if you see something like this and you see these stray marks, it's an indication to you, oh, this was probably
yeah.
block printed.
And
right?
what I think is so cool about it is that, and I don't know why this is like this, but there's an immediacy about it,
mm-hmm.
you know, that it's just not fussy. It's just like,
not
boom,
fussy.
And it's gone.
Yeah.
And that's what is the appeal. I mean,
yeah.
that's what... If I was to paint those green shades, like, it just doesn't have the same thing. We just feel that there's just two things happening here.
Yeah.
It's like boom, boom, you know.
There's a utility to it, right?
Yeah.
Like, I can just kind of put this on.
I love that.
And, you know, this green shape can just be the back of the block, and the front of the block can be the carving. So
mm-hmm.
you've just got both sides.
Oh, I see. Interesting.
So pretty basic steps. You mm-hmm. can take an image from your sketchbook.
Yeah.
Or you can grab source material, like, you know, from a magazine and trace it. But I always start with a piece of tracing paper, and I trace the size of my block on the tracing paper just so I know how much space
it's
I'm
like
working
with. It's like you're cropping.
With.
Yeah.
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 So now I know, okay, this is my work area, and I often use very abstract shapes. This happened to be like tufts of snow that I saw that I then just,
yeah.
whatever, it doesn't need to be. And then I can grab whatever shape I'm looking for and trace my shapes
uh-huh.
here.
Right.
And
right.
then because when you're printing, when you're putting it down, it's going to be backwards. But then when you're printing again, you're flipping it over, right?
So to end up with that.
Yes.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. So that makes sense.
So that's why the tracing paper is really helpful. You can go right to the block.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say you're doing text. The text
It'll
would need
be
to backwards, be backwards.
Yeah.
Right?
So you can, if you draw it and then trace it. And
mm-hmm.
then, yeah, I can.
It's just a little bit of a help. But
yeah.
if you want to go straight to the block and just have to think through that reversal
mm-hmm.
piece. So you burnish the pencil drawing with your fingernail or some implement, and then it's left on your block like this, right?
Right.
So
right.
then what you decide is, do I want to carve away all of this space around and only be left with these three shapes? And then I'm carving the white space in between.
Right, right.
So
right.
what's left is kind of like the raised area.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or you can do the reverse, which would be a more of a minimal kind of line drawing.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can get really simple tools at any art store, and it's actually pretty meditative. I always start with kind of the larger areas around, and you're taking one of your bigger tools or gauges and, you know, use one hand to hold it and don't put your hand here, which we do often. And you're just kind of pushing it, not very hard. You don't have to go very deep.
Boy, it just comes out so evenly.
Yeah. You can definitely do this with kids. And then just move the, you know, move the block around.
Wow.
And, you know, it's kind of a nice meditative exercise. And then you can think about the direction that you do these carvings, because when you have the stray marks, if you do it haphazard, that will give you a certain look, right? If you do it, and different artists will play that up or push it back, depending on what they're going for. Like sometimes the background really is playing a role, right? So once you have, once you've done your carving and you can decide that you want to keep it a square and just bevel the edges, so you lose the edges.
It. Yeah, right, I see.
Or you can use an X-Acto and cut out your shape, you know, so it's more like a stamp.
Oh, yeah, right.
And then, you know,
and they're totally reusable. You just
wash
this arsenal of cool shapes.
And then save the cuttings, because then this becomes an interesting shape that you can just print.
Yeah, right.
Or something like this. So then when you're ready to ink up, grab this. So I'm using just basic water-based block printing ink. This happens to be Blick. This is Speedball. And I mix.
And it's water-based.
Water-based. Okay. So that means it's not going to work with wet media once it's dry. It will run. And I'll talk about what you can use if you want it a permanent. I just mix it on the plexi here. And you take a rubber brayer. Just mix your color.
You just mix right on the palette.
I do, because it's pretty thick. It's not like with the screen printing ink, I'll mix it in containers and then put it on. But with this block printing
ink, there's no water that you mix
you
with it.
You could, but it gets runny pretty quickly. So you're looking for that kind of tacky sound.
Yes,
that's
right.
The right consistency. This is too thick, but you get kind of this. And sometimes you can put a phone book out, like an old phone book, and just put your excess ink.
Oh, and then turn the pages.
Yeah.
And now that's...
Or
finally,
I usually
finally a use for a phone book.
Right.
They deliver them still.
Yes,
you know, it's like, perfect,
they do.
Thank you.
Or you can just have a couple different plexi plates out, and sometimes I usually just start over if it's gotten too thick.
Yeah, it's a sound. Like it's like a...
exactly. Mm-hmm. So you listen for the sound, and then...
Do you ever, like, as you're doing this, and now you see your drawing, you're like, oh, I got to fix it?
Absolutely. You can carve, print, and then make your modifications. Like, oh, wait, there's too many stray marks there for me.
Then you wash this off and then go back.
Well, sometimes I just carve it even with the ink on it,
because
it's water-based. So you're doing that. And then the lightweight papers, the Japanese papers, take the ink really, really nicely.
Is this a rag paper? I mean, it's beautiful.
You know, actually, I don't remember which one this is. I use the Akawara a lot, but I am out of that. So I'd have to look it up.
Okay.
Well, I don't remember.
We'll provide links,
So then I always put, I mean, you could theoretically put the paper on top, but I think you have a little more control when you're putting the block on here. You're just pressing lightly, and then your print.
Beautiful.
And then each time you print, you get a different sense of, okay, I wanted more ink next time, or more pressure. And then if you print on, you know, scrap papers, that can add some visual interest to it.
And what I love, I mean, you know, these have become great collage papers.
Yeah.
You could just go crazy.
Yeah.
You know,
like definitely.
There's something, and I think it's because the way the paint goes down, it's not brushed, you know, and there's like these little recesses and.
Yeah. So and with this block printing, I think sometimes the simpler, bolder shapes translate the best. If you want to do much more detailed carving, sometimes the linoleum is a better surface to work on than the rubber blocks.
That's the hard clay one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So let's see. Oh, you know, when I'm using just little abstract shapes, I've got my carved block, and then I've got my solid, because if I want to go through
You made two of them?
I made two.
Two.
I've got my two.
Oh, so you...
So I've got my one color that's the solid, and then I'm kind of doing an offset with the line.
And it's literally offset. It kind of doesn't register quite, because you can't, and you don't want to anyway.
You can, but I'm just not as interested in that.
Yeah.
But a lot of times people, you know, if you want to do a multicolor, then you can do what's called a reduction print, where each time you print, your first run is a certain amount of carving. Then you go back and you carve more and do your second color, or you're using multiple blocks.
I see.
And if you're using multiple blocks, you're going to need to register that.
So they're in the exact spot.
Exactly. Yeah. And then once you have your ink on here, I always think, okay, now this is where I can go back and...
I think this is one of those things where you put the materials out and then you've got all these materials out and you're just going to start looking around to do stuff.
So oftentimes if I'm done and I think, okay, what do I want to use this for? And I start scraping across here, you know, or I add water to it, then you can take your paper and press it right onto the plate and you're just getting a texture, right?
To create eight pieces of texture.
Yeah, exactly. So we can roll.
Oh my God!
Just right onto here. Who knows what this will look like when it's printed? But a lot of times I'll just take like one individual leaf. Let's see. We're just going to press, and you can do this with, you know, any number of objects, right?
God, amazing.
Oh, and then it even printed on my scrap.
It feels so much like, what was that?
This was my scrap that I pressed on the top.
Oh, wow, yeah, that's, I think I like that one better.
Yeah.
Wow. It's amazing how much it feels like the thing.
So then I look here and I'm like, okay, there's something kind of interesting going on here, right? Just from the impression. So let's see what happens. Who knows? This may not transfer, but then you get this.
Wow, beautiful.
Right. So for the mixed media artist, just as a method for just creating collage papers, either carving the block or using the plexi, you can draw into it.
I'm just wondering how much of this...
Cool. Love that. And you can play with, I call this kind of the noise behind. So you can experiment with like how much ink is going to create. And then
That's so cool.
How much, you know, maybe if you knew what shape you wanted to do, you'd put less ink down so there'd be less noise on the outside.
Right.
But I like that look too with it.
It's amazing
there.
How, I mean, I don't know why it does that, but just kind of like, I guess it just... I don't know. It's just the absorption is doing something. That's really cool.
And then, so these, we've been using the water-based inks. If you want to work into an acrylic painting.
Right.
Then,
so you don't want it to run. Like this is like a watercolor. This is just like a rose.
Exactly. Yeah. So then I would use the screen printing ink.
Okay.
And you're going to do the same thing. I mix the screen printing inks in like Tupperware. Like this, and then I take spoonfuls and put it on the plexi, roll it out in the same way.
But, and they're thick, super thick.
Yeah, same we can thing. Do one here. The difference is that you're better off using a foam brayer with this because the screen printing ink just doesn't really adhere to the rubber. So.
Because it's not absorbed. Absorb on there.
You know what? I need to just grab a spoon.
I just think, you know, cutting these pieces out, you know, so cool.
So you just put it on here and then you're rolling it out in the same way. So there's a little bit more of a texture when you're using these foam rollers, but it doesn't really translate to what you're printing. So you can use this on the block prints. You can use it, obviously, in the plexi in the way that we did it.
Uh-huh.
And you can go, you know, directly onto a painting. You can go, this is onto screen printed material here.
Yeah, you just can totally layer.
Right.
Wow.
If you're working in
oil, that's beautiful.
There's this Caligo Safe Wash Relief Ink. So then you would just want to change your ink depending on if you're working in oil or acrylic.
Okay. But doesn't oil stick to acrylic?
You mean if you're doing oil on top?
Yeah.
Yes, you could. So like if your foundation was acrylic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could use the oil on top of that. I see.
I guess if you had an oil painting going already and you wanted to integrate into it.
But do you have to like clean this up with like solvents?
Just soap and water.
So this is an oil base, mm-hmm. this brand, this Caligo Safe Ink, mm-hmm. Relief Ink.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's oil-based and washable.
Yeah. They're coming out with all these new products, right, that are oil-based but clean up really easily.
This is great. Now, is this toxic for your hands and stuff?
I don't use gloves, but I don't use it as much because I don't need that option.
And it doesn't really have a smell, right?
A little bit, but not too bad. And a lot of block printers like to use this. They like the look of that kind of the way the ink rolls on.
Mm-hmm,
the water-based ink, you get a little more variation, and I actually prefer that. So it just depends on what you're looking for.
And you mix this color up.
Yes, okay. I mix this color.
With no water, you just want to keep it as thick
sometimes
as possible.
I'll add water if I want a little more transparency.
Okay.
And with the screen printing, you can also add a transparent base to give it a little more transparency.
Okay.
You can also take a paintbrush and when I'm using the wooden blocks, I would either use a foam roller with the screen printing ink.
Wow.
Let's say I'm working on fabric and I don't want to use the water-based ink. Or you can take a paintbrush and paint it on. It's just going to give you a different texture.
Yeah, this makes it perfectly even.
Yeah. If we look here, like this is painted on a block.
Oh,
so it
wow.
just gives you a different, wow. different texture.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So then we can talk about screen printing.
Okay.
Let me grab this.
Should I move this?
Yeah, we can move that. So with screen printing, you can either burn your own screens and you can get really sophisticated and use photographic images and things, or you can do something really low tech where you're just using shelf paper. And you're taking an X-Acto knife and stenciling out the shape you want and then rolling the shelf paper on here. And then what is open where you've carved with the X-Acto knife is what will print.
Yeah, so this red is the areas, it's the screen has been filled. The screen is just millions of holes.
Yes.
And the red is just clogged up all the holes.
Yeah.
So if you put paint on this, it won't go through the red part, but it goes through to these other areas.
Yes, and in this for this particular screen, I used some products from the art store, really easy to get. And what you're doing is with this screen filler, you're taking a squeegee and you're on the front side, you're putting the screen filler on so it's all red, letting it dry.
Okay.
Then you're going back the next day and you're painting on your image with this drawing fluid.
Okay.
Letting that dry, and then you rinse it, and just by rinsing it in water, this goes away
kidding.
And leaves you.
So that's so you can. Oh, so it's not a photographic process at
it
all.
It can be, but this is like a way to do it very
is this
easily.
New, this process?
I don't know how long, but because I can be kind of impatient. If I just want to do something
right.
and not worry about burning a screen, and also this gives you.
How long does this take to dry? This stuff.
A day.
Okay, so it's like goop, mud, and then it's
yes,
on there.
Yeah.
And then this will dissolve it wherever it's put on mm-hmm, it later.
Mm-hmm.
So you could come in and you could just be painting on it
yeah.
with that.
Yes.
And, you know, or take string and lay it on there.
I'm not sure how the string.
Well, I guess, or some way of, you could
the
print
string
on.
Wouldn't work with
you could
this.
Print on this stuff. the pattern. You could take wrapping paper or shelf liner paper and make a pattern on it of this, and then what, you wait like half an hour and it just dissolves?
I would say you need to let this dry. I would give it a day. It's probably shorter, and
it
has to dry.
And then you just take it all
under
the
hook. Then
you
rinse it. Yeah, and when you rinse it, this comes off and leaves your marks. So you can't get, with this, you can't get really precise.
Yeah,
you know,
it's a little
chunky, and you're just using a paintbrush. So your most immediate low-tech version is using the shelf paper, and you're using an X-Acto, and you're stenciling
holes
out,
in it and just
and then
over it.
Sticking it on.
Yeah.
This is kind of your next step, which you can get these products really easily, and you paint on the image that you want.
So when you say the shelf paper, are you saying you glue the paper on here with
you know,
a hole in it?
I get the shelf paper that has the sticky stuff to it.
So you have a blank screen, you carve up the shelf paper, which is sticky on the back, and then you lay it on here, and then you've got an opening and a closed thing, and you can just screen on it.
And you can't keep it, like once you're done printing and you clean your screen, you have to put your shelf paper in the garbage. It's not going to be something you can go back to over and over again.
But you can reuse the screen again and again and again. How much is a screen like this? And you just order these.
You know,
this is from Blit.
Yeah, that's probably $25 or something like that.
And you can use it over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Can you ever get out this red stuff?
I've been less successful with that with these products.
Okay.
Now,
With the Speedball product.
Yes. In theory, you can, and there are products to remove the image. But I have not been very successful. If you choose to burn a screen, this one I had burned for me, but I've done plenty.
Is this using, when you say burn, are they using light and a light sensitive?
Yes, they're using I don't know exactly what it's called, but
photo emulsion.
They're using photo emulsion, and then they're using a light unit, to expose the screen. Exactly.
And it gets it more accurate.
Much more accurate.
So the age is clear. Like that's where
with
the
age is. Yeah, with the exception of these markings right here. And if you wanted to reclaim this screen, there's a product that you would spray on here, and then with a high pressure hose, you could get rid of this image.
Wow. And is it silk?
I don't know if they use silk now.
All right.
It's a good question. Because it's more common to call it a screen print.
And there's different weaves, right?
Yes.
Different degree, how many holes per
square inch. So this one is this one. Here we go. Let's see. You know, it's, this says mesh 250. Yeah, so the more detailed the image, the higher mesh count. If I had a shape that was just an open shape,
yeah, really simple. Wow,
then I'd probably go with a lower, like I have, this is a 160, because the tighter the weave, the harder it is for the ink to get through. So I've got this big open shape here, and so the weave is a little bit bigger so the ink can cover that whole
space.
So
this says mesh count 160.
Yeah. And this is one I burned myself. It doesn't look as good as the one that... And you would just tape off your sides here.
Why wouldn't you put this purple stuff all the way to the end?
I just didn't have the right tool to go all the way to the end.
Okay.
And also, the frame prohibits you from using a tool that, like, it has to be inside this mesh. You won't be able to get close enough when you're rolling it on.
Okay. And what's so cool is you just have this forevermore. And you can cover up parts of this in print, right?
Yes. Often I'll just tape off. Let's say I only want this section to print. Then I could tape off this entire area and only print this.
Wow.
And, you know, you use these squeegees to, you know, dab your ink and then run your squeegee. But let's say you just want a little section. Then you can use...
Like a tape like this even?
Yep, exactly. You can just use a credit card and just,
do
a little
area.
Bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, little area. Yeah. So I can print. Do you want me to print this?
Sure. Let's see how you do that. That's cool.
Okay.
So do you find that it's just a lot of setting up and you know, like you know, you want to make an eight, but I could have taken out a paintbrush and made an eight.
Right.
But
yeah, there's definitely more setup.
Yeah, yeah. So do you have different tables? Like, you have three of these tables?
Or? I wish. I don't.
Okay. All right.
But then you do. I do think about, okay, so if I'm going to print this eight, how many ways can I print it and on how many different surfaces?
Right, right. Do a batch.
Yeah. Or I might say, oh, I only want part of this. So I'm going to tape this off, print this top shape in as many places as I need it, then peel away the tape, give myself a little bit more.
Right.
You know,
right.
And if you start with the lighter color, then you don't have to wash out your screen each time because you can just add, you know, like pull the ink through till it's almost gone, then put in a darker color.
And because it was lighter, it gets easier to cover up. I see.
So let's see. Here's my ink.
And this is all from that little stamp over there.
Yeah, so...
But you found that in a flea market or something,
this
right?
is... this particular one, I don't remember, but Etsy, eBay, people come to Open Studios and say, oh, I have them in my garage. Do you want some?
These are old typographic... That's how all the posters were made.
Exactly.
There's tons of them around.
So at one point I knew, okay, I love this shape, but how am I going to get it bigger? Right?
Right.
So
right.
I printed it onto a piece of paper, then scanned it, enlarged it, and then had this.
So you scan it and then you enlarge it on a computer, and then you can send a digital file to one of these companies.
Yeah.
I see. So people could have this. This could be made in a city and they could be 100 miles away and they just receive the file and they send this to you in the mail.
Yeah.
Very cool.
You can also. If you're not feeling very tech savvy, if you can just scan it, oftentimes they can help you, you know, make it the size that you need it or make it very black and white, like if you've got any grays that you need to get rid of.
I see. Wow.
So you're just, this is actually a little bit thick.
Oh, that's good. That's your water?
Yeah. I'll just add a little bit of water.
Is this a, where did you get this?
I think that was one of my kids, like, toy hair things or something. This is still a little thick. So
now you couldn't go. Oh well, this is the oil-based stuff. Right?
No, this is
the water.
Acrylic,
But could you go get? Could you take out Liquitex like our normal paint and use? Or is there something special about this roller?
I think there is something special because
it looks
the acrylic. The acrylic doesn't. It's you can. I think you can print with acrylic. I think it's gonna. Be something you'd have to stay on top of in terms of it drying in your screen.
I think this is finer.
Yeah. So, but it's just different enough that people don't print with it on a regular basis. So you want it to be a little bit more fluid.
So it runs off your spoon.
Okay, this is fine. Now, if you were being really precise and registering, you would set up.
Yeah, clear the decks. And
yeah, you would clear.
And
but
you have like a canvas on. I mean, does this? Would it be better on a table, or do you like?
I like a little bit of cushion behind, but you can do it directly on
Why
a table.
Why do you like a cushion behind?
I don't know. I think I got in the habit with these because these are so rigid. You cannot like print on. Just a super hard surface, like a table.
Needs,
you need a little bit of give.
Yeah, this fills in. Yeah, and this paper feels kind of soft and carpety. Right?
Yeah, so this is just canvas on a table, but sometimes I'll put cotton batting underneath if I want even more cushion.
Okay. Because this does influence the texture of everything you're printing.
Yeah.
Your table has canvas on
exactly.
it.
Exactly, yeah. So if you're needing to be really precise with your placement, then you would have to do the registration. But
I'm
often just kind of freewheeling it. So just put your ink up here. And then you can basically flood the screen just to get
so
it wet.
Not, okay, you're not printing yet. You're just doing it.
Yeah. And you want to do some test prints. I used to test print on newsprint, and then I decided I'm going to test print on actually really nice paper because then that becomes collage material. So rather than do my test prints on paper
wouldn't use. You're always making something.
Yeah, I mean, I have no idea how it will be used, but I might as well print it on nice paper.
And if you do it on nice paper and you like the first one, you're done.
Yeah.
Or you have another
something, right? Now, because this paper we're using is so lightweight, we're not going to really need to go over it very often or very many times. So you use both hands and kind of press down, get the,
you're really
surface
pressed.
Of the table, and then pull back.
Oh, God.
And in theory, that's probably enough on this paper, but I'm going to turn it around and go back. And then pull the paper down because this is so lightweight. And then you would flood your screen again so that it stays. I'm not very good at this. I often, it's just so it stays wet. So if you're continuing to print.
I
you just
see,
don't want it to dry.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah.
God, it's so beautiful, just the edge of it and the weight. There's a lot of ink on there, lot of ink.
There is.
It's heavy.
Yeah. And then you can, I often use water. If you want to have a more transparent look, you're going to use less ink, more water. But you wouldn't necessarily use more ink for more opaque.
Right. Surfaces. It's plenty opaque.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And is that what you're doing here? Or those are collage papers?
Yes. No, this is just printing directly onto the linen. So I'm taping off in a bunch of places.
Ah.
So there's screen printing, block printing. This is painted on acrylic paint.
Yeah.
Rolling just with the brayers.
And this writing?
That's a block print.
So
that's just kind of stamping.
Yeah.
So this is screen printing here.
Yeah.
So you get a little bit more of the layering.
Yeah.
Wow. And then this is collage. So these are the leftover.
Right. So that's where we're going now, right? Okay.
Yeah. Let me just move this here.
Now, will that screen's clogged? Should we wash that?
I should wash it after we're done talking.
Okay, all right. Keep moving.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
this is beautiful, by the way.
Thank you.
What is this?
So, you can print on paper or you can print on canvas, linen,
all kinds of
different surfaces. And you would, for the, fabric, you would use the screen printing ink, right? Whether it's block printing or screen printing, you end up using the screen printing ink. And you end up, you start a project, but you end up with all of these scraps or materials or things that don't work.
Wow.
So in this case, there's some cyanotype printing. And
what's cyanotype printing?
That is basically sun printing, where you're treating the surface with a photographic solution.
Oh, yeah. And then you expose it to the sun, and where you've revealed parts of it, it wears it down.
And these were screen printed scraps that then I put the photo solution on. And this, I think, is like manzanita leaves or something. So I never know, where this is going to go. This is block printed here. This is screen printed. You can see how this sits more on top.
Yes, there's a lot more paint.
As opposed to the block printing.
Right. And so when you're working, you'll just come and grab little pieces and glue them in and see So this is all just generated from the work you're you're just doing.
Yeah. So then you just end up with a bunch of different scraps. So then it becomes, and I guess it's more freeing when you're working knowing that if what you're doing on paper doesn't work, there's another life to it.
Yeah. So you'll do stuff on the paper, but then you'll put it on fabric too, just to have.
That's how I started working more with the screen printing ink, is if I had one screen that was inked up and I was moving from paper to fabric, I thought, well, I'll just stick with the screen printing ink because it can go to both surfaces.
Oh, yeah, right.
I didn't want to have one set of colors for paper and one set of colors for fabric. So it's all, permanent ink. And then I'm going to get out the sewing machine and do a little bit of sewing here. But these are new.
Glue these on?
I could. Mm-hmm. My vision for these is that they would be standalone.
Sewn together.
Yeah. But in other collages, I've definitely glued them to paper.
Yeah. And then things like this, this is all, you've just got a whole bunch of holes and things.
So these were scrap screen prints that didn't work. And I have a hole punch and I've started making all of these.
Oh my God.
So what's fun is that this becomes another exercise in collage, right? You look for the little gems.
Yeah, I mean,
and,
look at that little piece.
Right? So I don't know quite yet what I'm doing. I have designed some cards with these already that I'm going to put together. And then I figure there's probably a role for these somewhere. I just don't know what yet.
Yeah, so you're just generating materials to make art with.
Yeah.
And it's almost like you have too much.
I know.
You know,
but
one
I think,
painting, you know, like when I make a painting, there's a painting at the end and there's paper towels everywhere. But with you, you probably have more material than the actual finished object.
Yes. And I think that's what is interesting to me. When you have this leftover ink, that's how it's all
that's
tied
the invitation.
Together.
Yeah. Like, so, well, what are you going to do with me?
Yeah.
So you're like, experimenting. You're always experimenting.
And with this screen, before I rinse it out, I'll run water on it and then print it again. So I just get a base of a very transparent
like a washy ink.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I don't know what I'll do with it, but there's something about the connectivity of the materials and the process.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is really intriguing to me. So, and it's just the layering, and these are all very low tech printing methods,
totally,
but you
totally
know, very accessible. And there's something appealing about that.
I think. And just, I love how it just generates, you know, it just generates all, you almost, you could be like a center for artists could come and then just get
materials.
Pieces. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's an aspect of play to this that mm-hmm. and wonder because you don't know what you're going to get and things, you derive things from other things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably the best part of art making.
You know?
I mean, you can let go of your, you know, trying to make something and just enjoy the process of it. You know?
Yeah. I think when I think back to being a kid, one of the most satisfying things was just simply cutting paper over and over again. I would cut different shapes.
Yeah.
So I think there's something about that repetition
mm-hmm.
and the, you know, very accessible materials and that is very kind of playful and free to do. So.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I think we covered many things and my head's spinning. All right. Well,
okay.
Thank you.
Thank
That's
you.
Great.